ask that you right-click on your names down there at the bottom of where you appear on the screen and rename yourselves to where I've got your full your first and last names. And that would be your full first name if you don't want it to be. And, you know, if your parents were like mine, they may have just named you the diminutive, because my first name is Jeff, and that's it. No Jeffrey. So we are at 9:02, and I know as soon as I start into my introduction and outline for how we're going to proceed today, we'll get more people in, but that's just sort of the way it works. You got it. Both of you. So I've got Dan Pasichnik, is that right? Help me on the pronunciation there.
Pasichnik, that's perfect.
Okay. Bob, yours looks a little bit easier. I'm assuming plumber is plumber.
Yeah.
All right. Dan and Bob, you're both from the applicant side, correct? And I know why Ms. Schultz is here, and we don't have anybody else in the hearing room right now other than myself and my hearing clerk, Louise Legg. So it looks like we may not have angry hordes from the public who are opposed to this rezone today, or maybe not, I don't know, maybe they're all just really working and being fashionably late. So I have already hit the recording button, and I'll give you a little introduction this morning. So I'm formally calling us to order. We are recording at this point. This is a hearing before the City of Tacoma Hearing Examiner, which is me, Jeff Cable, in the matter of what I'm calling Dan Pasichnik - Royal Construction Group, who was listed as the owner of the real property in question here, request to rezone that real property as applied for through Robert Plummer - Evergreen A1 Contracting, who I assume is an agent of the actual property owner, Mr. Pasichnik, and his construction entity. This is for a site located in the southwest corner of South 79th Street, Pacific Avenue, with a mailing address listed in pre-hearing submissions of 7904 Pacific Avenue in the City of Tacoma, which is good because if it's not in the City of Tacoma, then I don't have any jurisdiction over it, nor does the City Council. I will note that this hearing is being held pursuant to Tacoma Municipal Code, Chapter 123, Section 050, which gives me the authority to act as the hearing officer for the City Council, which I'll elaborate on a little bit more in a minute, as well as applicable provisions of the TMC, Tacoma Municipal Code, 1305, 1306, that have to do with land use actions, land use hearings, and specifically rezones of real property. We'll note that the applicant has the burden of proof in this matter to show by preponderance of the evidence, which is a more likely than not standard, that the requested rezone complies with the applicable legal criteria for granting a rezone as set forth in the TMC. Again, as I stated, I am the City Council's hearing officer, and I have been duly designated and authorized to conduct the required public hearing for a rezone of real property for the City Council. I am not the decision maker. However, as required in my duties as the hearing officer, when we are done today, I will start putting together a written recommendation that will have findings and conclusions. And will analyze the criteria for granting a rezone based on the evidence that has been presented to me and make a recommendation to the council, and the council will act on that rezone in their capacity under the Tacoma Municipal Code to either approve or deny that rezone. I will note that the council does generally, well, in my time as a hearing examiner, there's been one instance where they have not followed my recommendation. And then that one went to court and came back, and then they followed my recommendation after that anyway. They generally do, they don't have to. So, you know, cross your fingers, but, cross your fingers assuming I approve it, but maybe I've tipped my hand there based on the pre-hearing submissions. I will note that this case was set for hearing today, March 4th, 2021 with start time at 9 o'clock, and we're well after that now. It's 9:07. I did admit everyone into the hearing room promptly at 9 o'clock, our start time. And the hearing was noticed to take place here in virtual Zoom land because we are still under COVID restrictions. Rather than being in the city council chambers, because the Tacoma Municipal Building is still closed. As I mentioned, my name is Jeff Cable. I'll be presiding over the hearing today. All testimony from the parties, i.e. the city and the applicant side, will be taken under oath, so I will swear you in before that. And we are making a formal record of the proceedings by digital audio as well as video over Zoom, because Zoom allows us to do that, and I really like having that. Before we start doing these on Zoom, I only had audio, and now I get to see everybody's lovely face again when I go back and review this on the way to making my written recommendation. Even though we do have video, it is still important that if you're saying something you want on the record, that if you want something to be on the record, that you make that audible. I can see nods and gestures, but it's nice to just have the audio line up with that by having a verbal answer. So how we're going to proceed today is that the city staff will make its presentation. And Ms. Schultz, are you the only city witness today?
I am.
Okay. City staff will make its presentation, again testifying under oath. When Ms. Schultz has concluded giving her testimony, I would ask that one person be a designated representative from the applicant side, so that if there are cross-examination questions for Ms. Schultz when she concludes, that it will just be one person asking those questions, not both of you ganging up on her. Not that she could take you probably even in a 2-to-1, but would ask that just one person do that. If there are cross-examination questions at that point, those can be posed to her. She will answer them. If she feels the need to do redirect testimony addressing things that come up in cross-examination after that, she'll have the opportunity to do that. Then we'll move to the applicant's presentation. Both sides have the opportunity to make a formal opening statement if you wish to do that. If you have a separate opening statement that's not testimony, let me know, and I'll wait to swear you in until after that. Otherwise, it's easier probably for me to swear you in and we go ahead and just move into it. I can decipher what's actual testimony and evidence as opposed to argument. Applicant will make its presentation. Next, on the applicant side, are both of you planning on testifying today? Or is that sort of a game time call after you see what Ms. Schultz does? Or?
Yeah, you know, this is my first Zoom meeting with the plaintiff or examiner as yourself, so, you know, I'm kind of new to this. So, I put the package together, and I gave it to Shirley, and Shirley put the put this in front of you, so I don't know what I need to add besides that.
All right, so game time call is fine. I will note that, you know, unless the applicant and the city are at odds with each other in what the city's recommending, a lot of times the applicants in these proceedings will rely very heavily on what the city presents in order to, you know, meet the burden of proof which is on the applicant. But any evidence that gets presented, whether it's from the city or the applicant, you know, stacks up to meet that burden. The city's evidence is, it's all evidence to me. It's all just, you know, part of the whole gestalt of the thing. So, you know, it doesn't have to be said by the applicant if it's already been said by the city. And to that point, let me finish going through the procedure for today, and then we'll address what's been submitted. So the applicant makes its presentation. The city can cross-examine applicant witnesses the same as the applicant does for the city. The applicant will have the opportunity for redirect if it feels it needs to do so. And then we'll go to the public testimony portion, because today this is a public hearing in all senses of that word, meaning that anybody who wanted to attend today could have looked at my website where I post these things up. They could have had the information. They could join in on this. It doesn't look like anybody has so far. And just watch the proceedings, same as if we were doing it in council chambers. Anybody can come in and just watch. But public in the other sense, public hearing in the people who are interested and want to be heard in regard to this rezone will have the opportunity to give public testimony. Now, there isn't anybody here for that. At this point, I guess we'll see if somebody shows up. Once that public testimony portion is done, then we go into a rebuttal portion where both the city and the applicant have the opportunity to offer some rebuttal testimony. And that's usually to answer questions or address things that come up in the public comment portion. If there isn't any public comment or public testimony, honestly, there's really not much to rebut. So I guess we'll see where we get when we get to that point. And then both parties will have the opportunity to make closing statements formally. If you choose to do so, you don't have to. Those can be waived, but you do have the opportunity. So prior to the hearing, the city submitted what has been marked now as Exhibit C1 through C8, C for city. A fair bit of what the city submitted in those exhibits C1 through C8 has come from the applicant, obviously. I did not get any submissions from the applicant. Was that intentional?
Well, when I was talking to Shirley, she said we were pretty well covered, so I didn't want to add or confuse anything to this hearing.
That's certainly fine. There's certainly no need to double up. So, you know, if what the applicant would have otherwise submitted is all within the city C1 through C8, it doesn't have to be submitted by both of you again. I presume that the applicant has had the opportunity to review the city C1 through C8 and is familiar with what's in there?
Yes.
All right. And does the applicant have any objection to any of what the city submitted and its C1 through C8 coming in and being formally made part of the record and being considered by me as evidence?
Yeah.
All right. So with that stated, I presume, Ms. Schultz, you have a motion for me.
I move we admit Exhibit C1 through, I believe, C8 to the record on behalf of the city and staff report.
And with that moved, it will be granted. City C1 through C8 are admitted and made part of the record, may be referred to freely by both sides throughout the presentations today. I will note that during the presentations from both sides, if you are making reference to a particular exhibit, if you want me to share that up on the screen, I can. If you don't want it up on the screen, that's fine too. I have it right here, you can see it. So, you know, for my purposes, I have it. We still don't have anybody from the public here, it looks like, in the hearing room, so there's no benefit to them. And with that said, I will note for everyone's edification, we have C1 through C8 now in. I've reviewed them before the hearing. I'll review them again after. All the information that's in C1 through C8 doesn't have to be read into the record verbally here at the hearing to be part of the record. Now, it already is. When there are members of the public who are here, it's still kind of a good idea for the city to make its full presentation, which kind of is a reading in of a lot of the stuff that's in C1 through C8, although, you know, Ms. Schultz adds her own flair to it, so it's not quite as dry as just reading it on the page. But it doesn't have to be read in to be in. It's in at this point now with that motion, and with there not being any members from the public, there really isn't any benefit to going through all of that to educate the public so that it, you know, can maybe testify on a little bit more informed basis. So I don't know how that will influence the presentations today. I may still have a couple of questions from my pre-hearing review of things in any event. But with that said, and before we start, I will ask though if there are any questions from the parties before we begin, and if not, I will be ready for presentation. Ms. Schultz, anything from the city, any procedural matters or questions we need to address before we get underway?
I have no questions.
Anything from the applicant side?
No. Okay.
All right, then. Ms. Schultz, are you wishing to make a separate opening statement before we just go into testimony?
Nope, I am not. Thank you.
All right, then. If you'd raise your right hand, please. You can swear and affirm the testimony you're about. Just Ms. Schultz. I'll get to the other two of you later. Ms. Schultz, you swear to affirm the testimony you're about to give as part of this proceeding today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Again, for the record, my name is Shirley Schultz. I'm a principal planner with the City of Tacoma Planning and Development Services Department. department, and the assigned planner to work on the procedural and substantive analysis for this rezone. As you have noted, this is the request for a rezone of one parcel, approximately 12,000 square feet, at the southwest corner of 79th and Pacific Avenue. I will state that the correction on the applicant versus the owner is noted, and I will make a change to our template today so that it is always clear who the applicant is and who the applicant's agent is. I, as you also noted, this and all of the exhibits have been entered into the record, and but it appears no one here is from the public, and I don't believe that hearing examiner staff or the examiner need to be educated. I will only go through the highlights of the staff report. Keeping it very brief, the site in question is in an area designated long range for low density multifamily development and light commercial development. It just simply has never been rezoned. Frankly, it has been on the docket for the city to upzone all of Pacific Avenue for quite some time, and that just hasn't occurred councilmanically yet. So the idea is for the entire Pacific Avenue corridor to be either mixed use, fairly dense mixed use, as to the site north of here, 72nd and Pacific, or lower intensity commercial and residential, especially with the soon arrival of the bus rapid transit along Pacific Avenue. It only makes sense to have multifamily along Pacific Avenue. Therefore, this is one of those rezones that is completely supported by the comprehensive plan. The applicant has provided drawings to show that they can meet the zoning requirements of C1 for being developed as multifamily. Most anything that needs to be answered from this point forward would just be compliance with the underlying code requirements of the C1.
Right, so, so in this case, pardon the interruption.
Yeah.
The requested commercial designation allows for the multifamily intended use, and that fits better with what the comp plan is designating for this area right now anyway, as opposed to asking for some sort of multifamily residential designation that also would have allowed for the use, but then been out of kilter with the comp plan designation, correct?
Correct. Oddly enough, well, this is opinion, our light commercial designation allows for multifamily development. The comprehensive plan designation for light commercial sets forth the C1 and the transitional zoning districts. It does not include in there the RL, which the zoning request would be appropriate for. However, when you look at the development standards for multifamily in the C1, they all refer to the R4L zoning standards, more or less. So in essence, it's an R4L zoning, but it's also called C1. So the comprehensive plan does support it. The comp plan designation does say that multifamily uses are appropriate. There's no requirement for commercial use or mixed use. And like I said, development standards pretty much all go back to the R4L. As a side note, staff have suggested that perhaps our comprehensive plan commercial designations also include some ability or a straight residential rezone at certain densities, and that may occur in future years, especially as we work on the upzones along Pacific Avenue. In any case, with this site, as I had said, this is one of those areas that's been planned for an upzone all along and just hasn't happened yet. It is supported by the comprehensive plan. The applicant has shown that they can meet all of the development standards for C1. There's those little things that need to be worked out in the site development permit and the building permit, but staff have all commented that those are things that can be managed in the permitting process. And with that, I don't have a lot else to say. The maps and drawings do show the relative location, show what's going on in the neighborhood, show how there will be a landscaping buffer to protect the single family homes that are adjacent from mostly parking lot impacts at this point. And the applicant, I believe, is pretty prepared to be submitting for permits fairly soon. So with that, I don't have a lot more to add. I'm more than willing to answer any questions the hearing examiner may have, and work with hearing examiner staff if there are corrections that need to be made to the staff.
Well, I think the one only question that I do have for you still is, and I'm looking at Exhibit C1, Section J, the recommendation and conditions of approval, and this goes back to what I think you just last said. I'm fairly used to seeing in this Section J a long list of conditions of the type that are found all over the place in Exhibit C6. I know my predecessor didn't do this, but I usually, including those recommendations, would put kind of a long explanation saying these are really development conditions. They're not conditions that are precursors to approving the rezone, but they are things that the city is, you know, offering to me as saying, hey, these need to be conditions of the project as opposed to the rezone per se. And so my explanation, you know, to the extent that council could decipher it, and I'm sure they probably could, they're smart, intelligent people, but I've been accused of being indecipherable sometimes. You know, it was just intended to say, look, these can't be met prior to approving the rezone. They don't need to be met, but they can be considered conditions of development of the project, and the project is sort of integral to staff's review of the rezone because the rezone is being approved for that project, essentially. If I heard you correctly, I think you may have already answered my question. I just want to make sure here. For this particular rezone, staff isn't concerned about making those all conditions expressly set out in the recommendation for the rezone. Those will all be handled through permitting approvals in that process. Is that right?
Correct. So with this one, to sum up, the staff comments were meet the development codes in place for the C1 district. So that's fairly understood with any development permit, and therefore don't need to be, they can be included by all means as advisory conditions if the hearing examiner feels that needs to be included to the city council. But that's just what they would be, is a heads up that this is what you're looking at when you come for permits. The applicant knows that. I would hope that the city council would understand that as well. But so we have all of these great codes in place that protect traffic, protect adjacent uses, require a safe building, and obviously those will be met regardless of the zone.
Yeah, compliance with the law that applies to your particular development project doesn't have to be a condition, an express condition in the rezone in order to have to comply with it. And in fact, you know, my typical language in these things usually says something to the effect of, you have to comply with the law, and this recommendation doesn't give you a get out of the law free card. So, you know, to the extent that you thought somehow that a recommendation of the hearing examiner could supersede code requirements, that doesn't happen. So I can certainly try to make that clear in the recommendation that, you know, in Exhibit C6, as part of the city's review, there are a lot of things that were flagged and pointed out that the applicant will have to comply with as part of the development of the subject property. Even though they're not listed here, there's still code requirements. You know, if there's stuff that isn't in the code that the staff thinks needs to be made a recommendation, then I always, you know, take that under review and look very seriously at including it. But you're saying, Ms. Schultz, that there isn't anything in that regard for this particular rezone request.
Yeah, there's nothing extraordinary about this development that needs any sort of special condition.
Well, I'm sure that
it'll be an extraordinary
applicant side think it's going to be a great, wonderful development, but I'm sure that's not, you didn't intend to, anyway, never mind.
I didn't mean not extraordinary, I meant out of the ordinary.
All right. Well, I don't think I have any other questions for you, Ms. Schultz. Thank you for your presentation. Does the applicant have any cross-examination questions for Ms. Schultz based on what she has presented today?
No. I'm good.
All right. just because you can doesn't mean you have to, unless you're a lawyer, and they will almost always take the opportunity to, and you know, when I'm sort of casting aspersions at lawyers, I cast them at myself because I am one. So no, and not all lawyers are that way, so some are great that way, but all right, so with there being no cross-examination, there's no redirect, I presume that the city rests in terms of its presentation chief today.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So, from the applicant side then, is anyone wishing to make a formal opening statement, or should I just swear you in and we'll go straight into presentation?
Let's swear me in.
All right, you're going first, Mr. Plummer. All right. Do you swear and affirm that the testimony you're about to give as part of this presentation today will be the truth, hope, the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
What I like about this, the way that I designed the building in relation to the C1 is that one, I'm disabled myself. So the first floor units, can be rented out to disabled person. Okay, so on the top, on Pacific, also there's four more units that can be rented out to disabled person. See, a lot of apartment complexes only, I think there's one disabled unit for every 50 units. So, you know, this is a plus for somebody that's disabled. So, also, the way it's designed is on Pacific, there's only two stories. And on the back side, there's three stories with the parking on the property. So, I feel that it was very well put together. Other than that, I think we should move forward.
All right. Well, I appreciate you adding that bit, because I didn't necessarily glean that aspect of the proposed development from what was submitted pre-hearing. Maybe it's in there and I just missed it, but I did notice the kind of the two different ground levels there from the parking lot and from Pacific, and thought that was an interesting way it was designed. Is that difference in grade already existing on the property right now?
It is. There's a slope there, so we didn't want to have this, you know, on Pacific. We didn't want to have across the street. Across the street, there's a third story, so it's a monster. This will blend in more because on that corner behind Pacific on 79, there's residential. If you look to the right, there's office buildings that are more residential. We will kind of want to blend it in so it doesn't stand out. So you only have two stories on the front side on Pacific, so it doesn't stand out like a big giant building skyscraper. So
very, very nice.
Yeah, a lot was put into that particular design and what we could put in on the property, and also implement the parking in the back on site. So any other questions? I'd be there.
Well, none from me. I do have to give Ms. Schultz the opportunity for cross-examination, and I will note, because he is, if you hear snorting and snoring noises in the background, it's because in my side of the hearing room, there's a bulldog, and if you've ever been around bulldogs, they're very audible when they sleep, and they sleep a lot, and he is, and so there you go. Just so you know, it's not my hearing clerk. She hasn't fallen asleep during the hearing. It's not me. It's King Louie over here. So there you go.
You say that every time, and yet we never hear him.
You didn't hear that just a second
ago?
See, I guess my staff is more attuned to it because they hear him during our staff check-ins on Zoom all the time. anyway. I guess maybe because it's in the afternoon. I don't know why the positioning made it. Anyway, Ms. Schultz, cross-examination.
I have no questions for the applicant.
All right. Is the
applicant... Or the applicant's representative.
Okay. Is the app... Well, you know, they're sort of fungible today. It's... two-headed applicant monster. Mr. Pesechnik, are you wishing to offer any testimony today?
I don't think I have anything to add.
Okay. Good enough, then. And I am going down the participants list right now. There's still just myself, Mr. Plummer, Mr. Pesechnik, my hearing clerk, Ms. Legg, and Ms. Schultz. We have no members of the public here to testify. So we will dispense with the public testimony, public comment portion of today's hearing. And given that we're dispensing with that, I am presuming that there's nothing to rebut. But Ms. Schultz, I'm sure you'll tell me if I'm incorrect on that. No rebuttal from the city?
No rebuttal, no.
All right. I'm presuming that no rebuttal from the applicant side either.
No.
All right. Well, I will thank you for your presentations today. I will say the written materials were pretty good at filling me in, but as is always the case, with a little bit of additional verbal testimony during the hearing, I learned some things that I didn't glean from the written materials, so I appreciate you offering those up today. Got a little bit of extra from Ms. Schultz and from the applicant side from Mr. Plummer today, which I think helps and get some shout outs in my recommendation. Where we go from here, just so you know, on the applicant side, Ms. Schultz probably already knows, but my recommendation will be done probably within 2 weeks' time, and that will issue even before all this COVID fun. My office is moving towards being paperless as much as possible, so as long as that is acceptable, my written recommendation will be sent out to the parties as a scan via email. And once that's done, the council has it at the same time, and then we put together a council action memo for it to go to the council in one of its duly convened Tuesday night meetings, also held over Zoom at present. Then they will vote to either approve or reject the requested rezone. That usually takes roughly a month from issuance of the recommendation. So recommendation, you know, middle of March sometime, should be before council, or at least before the end of April. Any questions for me or the procedural matters that we need to address before we adjourn today? Anything from the city?
I have nothing else.
Anything else from the applicant? Questions, concerns, procedural matters? Go ahead.
When it gets presented to the city council on the Zoom meeting, will we get it? We'll get an email when it's being presented to the council, right? So we'd be able to Zoom in on the meeting, or no?
Yeah, you could, and it will also be broadcast over TV Tacoma if you have access to that cable channel. The way council usually handles things that come to them by way of my recommendations is they're put on what's called the consent agenda, which means that they get all the materials that get my recommendation. Unless they have any concerns or questions, it goes on the consent agenda, and then they just usually vote to adopt the findings and conclusions of the hearing examiner. And it's very quick at the beginning of the meeting and over and done with without a whole huge lot of fanfare. If for some reason they have questions and things, it would probably be pulled off of the consent agenda, put down in the regular agenda, and then they would be looking to maybe have a little bit of presentation from Ms. Schultz, maybe even from me, and from the applicant possibly too. But normally we would be alerted that that's what's happening beforehand. And so we'd know. And Ms. Schultz and I will be given participant codes to get into the Zoom meeting in any event. If it's looking like just a routine approval through the consent agenda, they may or may not have someone from the applicant given a participant code. But, we'll see as that date approaches. So I'm sure Ms. Schultz will keep you well informed of what's going on. She always is. Except when she's not. But I haven't had a not yet, so I don't know.
on that.
All right, any other questions then?
I'm good.
All right, then. Well, again, thank you for your presentations. Thank you for being here today, and look forward to a recommendation in your inboxes within a couple of weeks' time. Mr. Plummer and Mr. Possession, does my office have email addresses for the two of you?
I believe you have mine, and then if not, I can forward it to Dan. We communicate all the time.
Well, my hearing clerk has just instant messaged me saying she has your information, so I guess we're good to go. And with that, I will thank you again and wish you a good rest of your day, and we'll be concluded and off the record.
Thanks so much, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.